once again, church. Great to be with you. John Wilson, pastor of Lismore Baptist Church, having an opportunity to share, encourage, teach, and open God's Word together. Once again, if you're visiting with us for the first time, it's great to have you here. If you've just stumbled across our website, or it's been referred to you by a friend or something like that, it's great to have you here. And trust that it will be some encouragement to you. Now, most of you would be aware that, particularly here in New South Wales, restrictions are easing somewhat with regarding the pandemic. And so starting this week, that there will be an opportunity for people to be able to, five people to be able to visit someone else's home. And also relevant to us as a church, we can have 10 people in our church facility as worship. This creates some new opportunities for us to start to engage face to face. And I know that there are quite a few people within our church family who are very keen to be able to engage face to face. So we've already, as a church, been discussing this with our leadership and also growth group leaders about the possibilities that may that we have with all of that. So it could mean that for growth groups, if it's only a small growth group, you know, five and or so, meeting back in people's homes. Otherwise, opportunity for growth groups to get back together in the church hall, so that they can we can continue to engage, encourage, teach, and study together. And I'm sure that most of you would go, "What a great opportunity that would be to have that kind of ministry again." So, once again, if you're interested in all of that, can you contact myself or one of your growth group leaders, so that we may be able to begin meeting together again. And that would then mean, as we're continuing through this sermon series, Anxious for Nothing, that as I've provided study guides with each week, that there's something that you can use to study together. Otherwise, working with other Bible study material. Can I also encourage you as well that we will continue to have our Zoom meetings at 11 o'clock. It's been a great opportunity for us as a church family to connect. We've had on occasions 50 plus people all joining in together through a Zoom meeting, catching up with one another, praying with one another, sharing stories and the like. Very, I think, important part of church ministry. So make the opportunity to join with us in that regard. It's been a fantastic means for fellowship. We're going to start our sermon this morning, continuing on our Anxious for Nothing series. So as we're doing that and opening up God's Word, let's pause in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and we look on these last couple of months where it's been such a strange experience, but we can see your hand. We can know your presence, and we have experienced your leading. And we will continue to pray, Heavenly Father, that as we walk through this pandemic, as we experience this, that you will continue to lead us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to sustain. And as we open up your word, that you would speak clearly to us. We desire to know that it is you that is doing the work, and that we are listening, our ears are open, our eyes are open, that we would hear your specifics. So we just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would guide us this time as we open and read your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go back to this passage we've been working on for the last, well, this is actually our fourth week of this series. And we'll read it again. It's just such a wonderful passage that Paul writes to the Philippian church. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Have you prayed about it? What is it? Well, in your life, it is that thing that causes you to lay awake at night. It's the thing that you dwell on. It is the thing that you get anxious about. It is the thing that steals your joy. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but for all of us, there is an it that is ever present in our mind that we need to do something about. What does Paul say? Paul says, pray about it. And we're going to pick up particularly in verse 6 of this particular passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We pray about it. And so I ask you this question, have you prayed about it? And once again, I think we're all guilty of a situation where we have sought every means to deal with it. And it's only when nothing else works, we turn to prayer. So I ask you this, is prayer your first response or your last resort? Is it your first response or is it your last resort? Is it prayer or is it despair? Now, what I'm going to do today is give you from this particular passage, this verse in verse 6, two practical instructions. And as I mentioned to you before, this sermon series is based around a book from Max Lucado simply called Anxious for Nothing, written before the pandemic came out, but has got so many keys and points that will help us as we seek to be overcomers in this particular day. I was actually aware just during the week, as the government is starting to seek to ease the restrictions around us, that one particular commentator said, we need to be vigilant. And they actually used the word, we need to be anxious that the pandemic doesn't come back, or we don't have another upsurge in cases. And so they actually said we need to be anxious. Now I know where they're coming from. I know that they're saying we need to be, you know, very vigilant and diligent and all those sort of things. But to actually say we need to be anxious, it's probably not the best choice of words, because there are plenty of people who are anxious anyway, not just about the pandemic, but about many things in life. And the Bible actually says that anxiety should not have a hold upon our life. And so as Paul is writing this letter as an encouragement to the Philippian church to help the hearers, the members of that church, and ultimately for us as well, to be overcomers of anxiety. He gives us two practical instructions in this verse, verse 6. And the first practical instruction is this: pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, I'm sure for you who have been a Christian for a while, you have that dilemma, I guess you say, is what do you pray about? What things should you come to God as a request for in prayer? Is it just the really big things? Do you pray about everything? Do you pray about what sort of toothpaste that I'm going to buy at the supermarket? Do I pray, what day do I go to the supermarket? Do I pray, what colour socks am I going to wear today? Do I pray, what do we pray about? And Paul is saying, pray about all things. Big things and small things. God doesn't mind about what we come to him with. I think the key in all of this is that as we pray about everything, the more specific that we can be, I think the more effective our prayer life will be. And we get very specific about those, the big things and the little things, everything that we pray for. For example, Jesus comes up to a blind man. We read this in the gospel. And Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want? Now, it would be pretty obvious what the blind man wants more than anything else. But it's like Jesus is drawing out of this blind man his specific request. The blind man specifically wanted to see again. And Jesus is asking a specific question to get a specific request. And we see this regularly throughout God's word. As Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, and we know that as part of the Lord's Prayer, and that is, as you know, I don't need to read out the Lord's Prayer to you, but there's a part in the middle of that Lord's Prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, what they're sort of saying, for this specific and particular day, we would ask that you would provide the practical things that we need for today. So instead of just sort of saying, God, just provide for us, we're saying, Jesus teaching in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day. Today, we need these sort of things. Can you provide them for us this day? And we see this in other areas. I mean, one of Jesus' first miracles. Jesus is at a wedding. And this person came to Jesus at the wedding and says, we have a particular problem, and the problem is that we have run out of wine. We need more wine. That's a specific request. It's not just, I hope we have a really good day. We have a specific problem that we've run out of wine. Specific requests are vital if we want a dynamic prayer life. Now, what I want to do is let's dig around in this particular verse of Philippians 4. So Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it seems here that Paul is in the general area of prayer mentioning four specifics about that. Now, in this first practical instruction, I want to talk about three of them. So as you look at this passage, you'll see, but every situation by prayer, petition, thanksgivings. Now, look, let's just leave thanksgiving to one side at the moment. And we'll talk about it later. And the fourth one is present your requests. Now, if you've been able to pull up the slides associated with this sermon, you'll see it printed out on the slides here. We're looking at three particular aspects that Paul talks about: prayer, petition, and requests. And as I said, we'll talk about Thanksgiving later. Now, what is the difference? Why does he break prayer down into these other areas? Now, a suggestion here is that when he talks about prayer, he's talking rather generally, but it's talking about our posture of prayer, which can be expressed in many different ways. It could be in worship. It could be through various readings. It could be through meditation and the like. It's almost like an umbrella statement that he's made. Prayer. Then he comes in a little bit narrower here and he talks about petition, or other versions will use the word supplication. And I've mentioned here that it's more associated to your attitude. It's your heart. It's the driver behind prayer. The petition to seek God for things. And then he comes to the last statement, which is your specific requests. Present your requests to God. And this is where it comes down to, as I've sort of said, specifics. And I would say the more specific we can be in prayer, it would generally indicate our level of seriousness of prayer. Let me illustrate. Imagine I said to you, hey, it'd be great to have you over for dinner sometime. That would be great. You recognize that I would appreciate, but there's been no time frame, there's been no date, there's been no specifics. So even though you could sort of say that we really appreciate the offer, it's not really a serious invitation. Would you agree? But if I was to say to you, look, Angie and I would really love to have you over, and we're thinking this next Wednesday evening, you know, about 6:30 at night, we're inviting these people and you're invited to come too. We're going to have such and such. We're going to have a roast and we're going to cook it this particular way. We're inviting you to come with this. We would love you if you could bring along these sort of things. If it's a problem for you, we can change it to another night, but this is what we're suggesting. If it's a really great night, we'll have it outside. But if it's rainy or very cool, we'll have it inside. So can you let me know by, you know, Monday evening about whether you would be available to come to have a meal with us on that particular night? Now, if I was to say that to you, compared to the first statement I made, oh, we'd love to have you for dinner sometime, tell me, which one do you think is the more serious invitation? Now think about that with regard to prayer. That so often, and look, I'm as guilty as anybody. If I've got nothing much to say or to think about, I'll get up in the morning and I'll say, you know, God, be with me today. Amen. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with that. But would you call that a serious and dedicated prayer? Probably not. Now, if we want our prayer life to be most effective, we probably need more than the just, can you be with me today? Amen prayers. And in many respects, it is giving a burden over to God. Specific burdens. And it'll be like if I'm got a particular time frame today, I'll be saying, okay, Heavenly Father, I'm going into this meeting at 12:30, meeting with these particular people. Now, I'm particularly aware of so-and-so and the issues that revolve around that. And I just pray that you would give me wisdom as to how I respond to their issues. Now, I recognise that I need to be prepared, so I need to, you know, maybe do a little bit of preparation or background checks or things like that. But I've got this particular issue and I need help in answering these questions or being ready to respond in such and such a way. I'm asking that you would help me in those areas as I meet with these people. Now, as you can see, that's a far more serious and dedicated prayer than just flying up the, oh, God be with me today. Amen. I think you know where I'm going with all of this. I'll give you a good example of this. We find this in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 24, there's this great little story. And it's regarding Abraham and a servant of Abraham. And of course, you would know that Abraham's son Isaac, in this particular story, didn't have a wife. And so Abraham is looking for a wife for Isaac. And so he actually gets his servant, the servant of Abraham, to go out and find a wife for Isaac. Now, how would you like to have that job? To go out and find a wife for your boss's son? I don't think that would work too well today. I'm sure it still happens in certain places. So anyway, this servant goes out, high and low, going here, going there, to seek to find a wife for Isaac. The good thing about this servant, obviously a godly servant, prays. And we pick this up in Genesis 24, verses 12 through to 14. Once again, it's in your slides. Genesis 24, 12 to 14. Let's look at how specific the prayer is. The servant prays, "Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham." Now, once again, you look at that and you go, that's pretty general. That could mean anything. Now, we'll see where he goes with all of this. "See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the town's people are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Now, as far as specific prayers go, that is rather specific, isn't it? Right down to the level of conversation. Now, I don't think there's too many of us who will pray to that level of specifics. And on that, this is suggesting that as you go about your life, that you are asking God to lead us right through to the specifics verbatim of conversations you have with people. But I think you get the point here, that the servant here is getting very specific and very serious in his prayer. And of course, we said, as you read on further through all of this, exactly what he prayed was to happen. And of course, we know Rebekah, who was to become Isaac's wife, is the one who came, and everything turned out as he prayed. Now, my suggestion in all of this, not so much about finding a wife or a husband or whatever, not necessarily all that, but I sort of wonder, let's, as a bit of a challenge to you, try it out. As you go through this next week and you're working your way through and specific requests or specific areas in your life need prayer, consider, how can I be specific in all of this as I pray about these things? I challenge you, as you become more serious about your prayer life, you will become more specific. Bring your requests to God. Now, the other practical instruction that Paul gives in this particular passage, and I hurdled that one because if you remember, what we talked about before was the prayer, the petition, and the request. And in the middle of that particular verse, as he talks about the various aspects of prayer, he uses the word with thanksgiving. So this is the second practical instruction. The first one is pray about everything. Second one is pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. And note that Paul mentions this, and whether it's intentional or not, he places it right in the middle of those various aspects of prayer. Not at the end as a sort of an afterthought, but right in the middle. Could have been quite intentional. And we need to be, I think, aware in thanksgiving of who it is that we're praying to and the privilege that we have to be in communion, to be in fellowship with the Creator of the whole universe. And He is there for me. I'll never forget when I was studying at TAFE to be an electrician. I remember there was a particular teacher who was just a great teacher, someone who you knew was interested in you. It didn't just do it for a job, but would ask about you, would be interested in your job, your day, you as a person. And I remember clearly a statement that he made. He said, look, if there's anything that you don't understand, anything that you have trouble with, if there's anything that happens in your workplace or anything like that, please ask me because I'm there for you. Now, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? I'm there for you. And I remember that I spent much time going back to this teacher with questions about my work and about my understanding of the industry. And it gives you a great sense of gratitude and thankfulness to know that there is someone who is there for me, available, interested, considerate. And of course you know that is the nature of God. And we're just one prayer away from peace and gratitude as we approach prayer with thanksgiving. And I've got a bit of a hint here, and I think one of the most effective ways I find this is that too often what happens is our prayer starts with our problem. And this is the problem. We come to God and go, God, this is what's happening. I want you to fix it. And then we get fixated on the problem and we see God as basically the troubleshooter. And that's what I'm asking you to troubleshoot. I find a more effective way is to find a promise of God. Now, don't ask where you can find promises of God. The Bible is just loaded full of them. If we can find a promise of God and then we pray around that. So, for example, if I'm really struggling and I feel like I'm alone, I promise to start with, God, your promise is that you said you will never leave us or forsake us, that you are always with us. What a great way to start a prayer. You are ever present. And then from there, pray into the situation again. This is what I'm struggling with or whatever, and ask that you would help it. But we've set the foundation of our prayer with a promise. A promise. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So though I'm feeling condemned, though I feel belittled, though I feel like I'm a failure or whatever, I start the prayer with, you said there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If we're in a major battle, we start the prayer with, you said that no weapon fashioned against us shall prosper. You said that. That is a promise of yours. So I'm coming to you with that in mind as the foundation of my prayer. So in the midst of this conflict or difficulty, I come to you, but I stand on that promise. So I ask you, thinking about, what is your particular request that you have? Be specific about it. What specifically is your greatest prayer need at this moment? Think about it. What is a promise of God that addresses that particular request? And how about you start your prayer in thanksgiving with the promise? Finding the promise and then praying around it. Instead of starting with the problem, and then we tend to dwell on the problem. Much is said about prayer throughout the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament and the Gospels. And Jesus, I think, told one of the I guess you could say weirdest or most strange or profound parable about this. And we find this in Luke 18. Luke 18 verses 2 through to 8. And it's generally titled the Parable of the Persistent Widow. And it's about prayer. But so often this particular parable is kind of misunderstood. I mean, one of the characters in this parable is this judge. This judge, and Jesus makes it quite clear in this parable, he didn't respect God. He didn't care about people. He was just we probably all can associate this judge to someone in our lives, someone who just has no respect, no care, no love. Doesn't fear God, doesn't care what people think. And the other character in this parable is a widow. Now, once again, thinking about what a widow would have been like in the time of Jesus, someone who had virtually zero rights. We'll call her Dottie. Dottie lives on her own. She's obviously got an issue of injustice. Someone hasn't given her time, space, or given her what she deserves. So she keeps coming back to this judge. Dottie keeps coming back to the judge and just saying, "Can I have 5 minutes of your time? I've got an issue and I need you to address this issue." And the judge goes, "I'm not interested. I don't care about people. I don't fear God." The judge goes home. There's a knock on the door. He opens the door. There's Dottie. "Judge, I just need 5 minutes of your time." He slams the door. "I'm not interested in Dottie." He's on his way to work. He stops by to buy a newspaper. And as he walks out of the news agents, there's Dottie. "Excuse me, Judge. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Help me with this issue of injustice. I don't care. I don't care about Dottie. I don't care about you. I don't care about people." And he goes on his way to work. He's filling up his car at the service station. And as he's filling up the car, along comes Dottie. Dottie comes along and says, "Judge, I just need 5 minutes of your time." And as you can see, this judge is getting worn down and worn down and worn down. Everywhere he goes, there is Dottie. Finally, he says, "This widow just keeps bothering me. So I'm going to make sure that she gets justice, because, and the reason why I'm doing it is not because I care, I'm just doing it because I don't want her to keep bothering me. Everywhere I go, there she appears, and I'm sick of her." Now, does this passage mean we need to pester God? No. Now, this is one of the problems with many of the parables, and quite often the problem is that we don't read it in its proper context. Look, there are parables that Jesus told that are parables of comparison. Parables of comparison. In other words, they symbolize truth. A classic example of that is the prodigal son. They symbolize the truth that to a certain extent, we are all like prodigals. We've all, you know, turned our back on our Heavenly Father. And of course, the Father represents God. So there's a parable of comparison that symbolizes a particular truth. But there's also parables of contrast. And these parables of contrast earthly principles with the principles of the kingdom. And there's a parable of contrast. And this is what happens here. We can see here straight away that God, this judge, is the complete opposite of God. God is the opposite of the judge. Now, even though we have a lot of similarities to the widow, what they're really sort of saying is that this judge wasn't operating out of love or care. He was just worn down. And here is where Jesus comes through and sort of says in verse 6, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? He's saying, of course not. Because God is not an unjust judge. God is ready and willing. Now, of course, there are times when we need to persevere. There are times when we need to hang in there during the times, not because God doesn't care, but maybe the timing's not right or something else needs to happen first or we're praying with the wrong intentions or whatever. But God is not an unjust or uncaring judge. Don't misread that parable. God will bring justice, will respond to his chosen one. He will not keep putting us off. What we hear and read from Paul is that God is intensely interested in us. He wants a dynamic and intimate relationship with us. As we come to him with thanksgiving, recognizing the incredible majesty of God, the creator of the universe that we do not know the boundaries of, is seeking an intimate relationship with his children. Let's not just carelessly throw one-liners at God as we go about the busyness of our day. But we will take the time. We will seek his promises. We will resonate with what he says about himself and his people within his word. And we will apply them into our prayer life specifically. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you do love me with a love that is so high and mighty and wide that we cannot know the bounds of that. And understanding that love and the immenseness of it, I come confidently to you, knowing that you will respond to this prayer in love, in a care and mercy and grace that your word talks about. And so therefore, I can come with these specific areas of my life that I'm asking for you to answer. What a great confidence we have in that. And so we do pray, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And I want to pray specifically for every listener to this message, that as we go through this week, that in our prayer life, you will enable us in thanksgiving to stand on your promises, and through that, in serious prayer, to bring the requests we have, minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour, these requests to you, and to be confident that you are a caring and loving God. Thank you for those promises. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, church, and we'll talk again soon. Bless you.